Today we have with us Gail Brown, and she'll be telling us a little bit about her life story and how she got started working with the community and helping others with children and adults alike. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Nate. I think I'll start with my childhood. I was raised in a small rural Pennsylvania town outside of Philadelphia, and I had three brothers and sisters, pretty solid family unit. We were raised Catholic, so I had a strict upbringing that way. What else can I tell you? When I was very young, I knew that I wanted to go into teaching, so I would gather all the 3- and 4-year-olds and put them in the backyard of our home and begin to hand out things and pretend I was a school teacher. And I was lucky enough to go through life and have that become a reality. So that was good.
So when did you start the training to become a teacher? Did you have to go to get the education for the teaching certificate?
Sure.
Okay.
I graduated from high school and had a wonderful guidance counselor who, made sure I made it into college well, and then got my elementary and special ed dual certification, and went right into working with severely and profoundly retarded children, because in those years, in the 70s, those children were not allowed a public education. Okay. They were often in institutions. So we would have the institution nearby would bus some of their children into our classrooms. They weren't large classrooms, and they would receive physical therapy, occupational therapy. I used a lot of music because I found how powerful music was.
Did they respond well to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Children who didn't speak, who weren't able to do, self-care, would always respond to music. So I had an awful lot of fun. Of course, I was much younger and had a couple of teacher's aides. And it was, this program had money in it because, the government had decided that the severely and profoundly needed some kind of stimulation and help and education. So it was very exciting to be on the threshold of that.
Yeah, so you were like a pioneer of that kind of age,
yeah.
Right? When like it was, they were first getting into the funding of that kind of a thing. So you were there in the beginning. And
exactly.
Did you get to write your own curriculum and thing like that? Or
sure, because it hadn't been written
prior.
Okay. And I was on a curriculum committee. And one exciting thing was a friend of mine and I found a program developed in Canada where these different symbols could be taught to children who were nonverbal, and we would make symbol boards and teach them, and they would express themselves. I want, music. I want something to eat. I need to be changed. And they feel happy. We went into the emotions. Well, we were so excited to unlock some of these children who had been institutionalized and found out that there was so much more that they could communicate if we gave them the opportunity.
If they had the tools to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So did you stay in the special ed, or did you somehow, evolve in the teaching? Like, did you just teach the younger kids, or did you get up to high school and beyond that, or...?
Well, what was offered to me after I did the severely and profoundly for 6 or 7 years was to be the supervisor of a federal program where they were trying to mainstream these special needs children into public schools even more so. I had a staff of 15, and they were the physical therapist, speech therapist, occupational therapist, and they would go to different classrooms and work with these children to keep them in them as mainstreamed as they could. Now, these children, all of them were not as severely and profoundly involved as my first group, but it was really a good federal program, and I did that for many years. And
but you never stayed, like, if you had a class, you never, like, went up in the grades with them?
No,
okay.
No, because the children I did work with, I might have a 7-year-old and then also have a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old. It was about the size of the class and the level of involvement, physical involvement, whether how severely they were handicapped and what have you. So we tried to group that way instead of by age.
So did anything in the 30 years of your teaching, did it change or evolve in a way?
Well, I moved to Arizona from Pennsylvania and began working in regular education. So, and I had a master's in special ed, and I was able to, you know, and also dual certification, so I could teach any grade. So I did, the rest of my career was with regular ed.
So children. What made you move out to Arizona?
Well, I heard, this is when I was getting to know Satya Sai Baba, who was introduced to me in New York. A friend of mine would go up to New York to hear this spiritual teacher named Hilda, and she would talk about Satya Sai Baba, and I became very interested, and she talked about how my heart would be opened when I asked about my move to Arizona to get closer to people who knew Sai Baba, and so that's how that happened.
So what stood out with Sai Baba in the sense that made you want to learn more that was different than something you'd already known as a child?
Well, I had had issues with Catholicism, and I was telling you before we went on the recorder here that when I was a really young child getting on the bus, the Catholic bus in my little neighborhood, and watching all my neighborhood friends that I love so dearly get on the public bus. And I was so disenchanted with that whole concept of separation. So, and I was a good, you know, student of Catholicism for very many years. But Satya Sai Baba, and through this teacher, Hilda, talked about all paths leading to God or, you know, I always use the cliche, all paths lead to Rome. And that's where I, you know.
So what did you find out in Arizona? Did you find what you were looking for out in Arizona?
Well, I did find people who follow Sai Baba and have the same, are of like mind in terms of love all, serve all, and all roads, you know, lead to Rome. So, yes, I did find what I wanted.
And did you find a continuing teaching career out in Arizona, or did you do something else for a while when you first got here?
No, I went right into teaching at a private school. We were also living together at that time. Some of these most of the students that came to the school, we lived in a communal setting. Many were Sai Baba, followers. So I felt right at home there. Just taught the regular curriculum. I just always loved being with the kids and
right.
And teaching and watching them open up in so many ways. And it's just always been such a pleasure.
Do you have any stories that you can recall that stand out, which changed the course of your life, or maybe, you know, showed you something that you didn't see before when you came here?
Well, I think what I remember, what really seemed to get the attention of some children who weren't designed to sit in a seat and listen to the lecture and fold their hands and attend, was a sense of humor, music, just different ways. I wanted to be structured because certainly was easier to have control.
Right.
But I learned that that's just not the way people are.
Especially kids at that age.
Especially kids. Right. Lots of energy. So I had to adjust and adapt. I just always knew that if we weren't laughing, we weren't learning it well enough. You know, that
right.
was one of my theories. And I knew that if I got out of the way, children would learn. I have to tell you, I was always calling upon the higher power, which is a term I learned to use later when I was doing counseling.
So could you go into more detail about that in the sense of how did you use that to help you out, or did it help guide you in a way?
Well, I stumbled after I decided I left the group of people that I was with and decided it was time. My husband and I were shifting gears in many ways. I went into substituting at the public school. Had an awful lot of fun doing that too, but things had changed drastically in the public school system, where the teachers didn't have a lot of recourse and backing from the administration, and it was just really tumultuous. So I decided to look for a different type of job. There was advertising for a special needs supervisor at a day program for adults. So I applied for that and went for the interview, and the interviewer told me they thought that I would serve even better in a different capacity at their counseling for regular people.
Okay.
and a lot about substance abuse. And so I said, well, I'm not trained to be a counselor. I'm an educator. And they said, that's perfect. So that's how I entered. And then they gave me lots and lots of education about how to be an effective counselor.
So what did that job entail exactly? Did you work from a certain range, from people that were alcoholics to drug users to people being abused? Like, I just don't know the whole range of people that you influenced while you were there.
Okay, that's a good question. We would have children who were taken from their families' homes because they were abused. So Child Protective Services is what they were called in that time. They would take the children and put them in the foster homes, and then we had a program to counsel those children and to work for reunification of the family.
Right.
That was always the prime goal. I had the great good fortune to work with some of these children and do some play therapy, which I had learned in Pennsylvania because I had taken a program in play therapy. So I did that during certain hours of the day. Then in the evenings, I would teach substance abuse. We had a curriculum, and there would be people who were sent there from the probation department. The judge ordered them to have counseling. Or there would be people just off the high school, people off the streets that needed help with addiction. So we would do classes.
I could imagine something like that being very heavy to have. Did you have to talk to people once you, did you have to get counseling when you had to take on everyone's baggage in a sense? I could just imagine it being a very heavy environment with all the, negative things that people experience. But also, you're the person providing the positivity. So I just didn't know how you held that light, while amidst of all the,
Very good. Very good question. Because for me, it was essential. And I would talk to family members who I felt knew more than I did. My mother-in-law was very helpful just about holding what you called the light a minute ago, I think, holding that positive in the midst. And so I would have rituals that I would do. Circle yourself with the light, say prayers before, after, and during, ask for your higher power to be with you and to know what's yours and what's not yours, and to work that way. And it was absolutely essential. And I have always been one to believe in getting counseling. So I've been to counseling throughout my life, okay, different times.
And would you say that you saw a lot of, I wouldn't say miracles, but a lot of positivity that came out of the program, where you saw a lot of success with the people that was the percentage rate very high, or was it a struggle to keep people, in that right direction?
In our town during this time, it was, when I started, it was methamphetamines were the big abusing, the drug of choice. And then when I left, it was heroin. And so I watched, things shift that way. I can't say that there were definitely success stories along the way. It was often about the support that these adults had after they, went to the classes and went through the court system and paid their fines. And one thing that I was very strong on was having a spiritual support system as well. And so, we had the local non-denominational church that I talked a lot about, just because people had educated me about how it had served them.
Right.
And working with the families of these young adults was also very important. I couldn't use the term, God, I had to change that whole mindset to your higher power, which was fine and not hard for me to do.
So empowering them in that sense.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So did you have anything that stands out in the sense of that you know that if you weren't there, that person wouldn't have made it? Like you know you made an impact in someone's life.
I definitely felt that way at different times, because that's what sustained me much of the time, is that you did. If a light bulb goes off in your turns on, mm-hmm. in your presence, you can't be anything but delighted. Right. Now, I had to remember, you know, that the glory goes to God, not to myself. So you're careful. Try to be careful about that. But yeah, I was so blessed to have that happen in my presence many times, and people would thank me and bring me things, and it was very humbling.
So what would you say is one of the more important things you learned through working with even students up to the counseling that really had an impact on your life or really showed you something else beyond just the regular hustle and bustle of everyday life?
I think it's important to listen. Okay. Stop talking and listen. We would do these 3-hour intakes and people would dread them. And by the time they were over, they were so glad they came. And I know it was because the questions were all about them. And they just wanted somebody to listen. I would write down what they said. You know, be as positive as I could, because I felt that way.
So you were very attentive, and they love the fact that someone is actually giving them the time that they need. Because most people, I could imagine, in their lives maybe not give them that outlet. So you gave them something to look forward to in the sense of, you know, getting the weight off their chest, but you also listening and giving advice and trying to help them, you know, turn their life around.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I would come up with a plan for them. In other words, it isn't all hopeless. We have a plan here for you. And together we would develop a plan to improve their lives. And some chose to follow the plan, and some chose not to. I guess that's it. I guess that's what I have to say about that.
So was there anything else after the substance counseling that you did beyond that? Or was it just, because I know you retired recently, was it just after that you went into the retirement?
Yeah, I did retire. And frankly, my agency, it turns out, left the town a few months after I retired.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It had nothing to do with me, but I didn't know it was going to happen. And I still see a couple of clients that I used to see. And I also didn't just do substance abuse. I was also, one of the clients that I have was in a terrible car wreck and lost a lot of their ability to organize. And
like all the motor skills and things like that?
Not much physical involvement. Some. They'll call me over to their house, please help me get organized with my bills,
okay.
or come to the doctor with me and write down what the doctor says, okay. because I can't remember. And so, you know, doing that kind of thing. So that's been really rewarding.
So did you deal with like a PTSD kind of situation?
Exactly.
Too? Okay.
And we did have vets who were addicted to substances. One fellow I see in town all the time, he's working at a local thrift shop, and he's just a delight, and he has been sober for, oh gosh, 8-10 years. He's been just, you know, found his niche and has a support system and loves music and plays, you know, the guitar and all that. So he's found a life. So it's really fun to see people that
yeah.
I've worked with.
I was just going to say, it's got to be rewarding, like, you know, helping people in that job and then seeing them incorporated back into the community and see the impact they're having, which, you know, it all ties together. Like, you help them and then they can help back with the community. So you're helping a little bit of everything at the same time. So
yeah, it is absolutely rewarding. I can tell you that. And it's all about the big guy for me, you know.
So would you say you have any you know, just to wrap this up, do you have any, like, words of wisdom or anything you've learned over all the years you've been alive, anything that you could tell the audience that they can hold on to? And, you know, maybe if they're in dark times or they're have friends that are involved in that kind of a thing, or anything with PTSD, substance abuse, just abuse in general, or anything just to keep them, you know, afloat.
Wow, that's a big one. I always say that there is always help out there. Don't retreat. Ask for help. And if you go for the help and you don't meet what you think you need to have, go somewhere else for the help. And don't ever give up asking for the help that you think you need. Because it can be in many, many different places. It can be at a church. It can be at an AA meeting or an NA meeting. It can be. And also, one thing I learned is whenever you're feeling low, helping someone else is what will pull you out of almost anything. Is reaching out and seeing what someone else needs is very, very therapeutic. So I think that's...
It's a love with service.
Yeah, it's just practically, I mean, I don't know if it's a fact, but it's a fact for me.
Right. And I'm sure it's a fact for other people too, because I know from personal experience, serving people and doing it, you know, having love in it, it makes you feel good to help somebody out, and, mm-hmm. you know, they feel good, and it's, some people are even shocked at the fact that another human is helping them out, because they're used to, you know, just... it being a lot different than that, and a lot of mm-hmm. people will just kind of ostracize them and not want to deal with the problems of the community, like, and even with, like, the dirty stuff that you kind of, you know, you deal with, the stuff that people want to shy away and look from, that you're there to, you know, try to help clean up in that sense. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I really admire you for taking that step that most people wouldn't, so that's awesome.
Well, you're kind, thank you.
And I'm sure the audience will appreciate all this. So thank you so much for the interview. Hopefully I'll get another round two from you in the future.
All right. Thanks, Nate.